Let me set the record straight for a minute. Hate, I get it. Say it with him. I don't give a f- I'm cool with it. Play a peep the fans with him.
All right, friends, don't touch that dial because we are starting the hot stove on such a toasty, toasty night. My name is John Hopkins, and I will be one of your hosts for this evening as we preview Cavalry FC versus Atletico Ottawa. But before we do, we will be taking a look back at that matchup, the first loss of the season against York United. I am joined this evening by my co-host, a fellow member of CCSG, Isaac Donnelly. Isaac, how are we feeling tonight?
You know, feeling good. Might just because Scotland didn't get destroyed today, so I'm feeling good.
I'm feeling sweaty, so let's keep it nice and toasty in here to mimic the weather outside. So a little bit of housekeeping before we dive in. If this is your first hot stove, here's just a quick breakdown to how the show works. Each week, we have two hosts who introduce and discuss some questions about the week's upcoming matches before turning to you, the audience, for their thoughts, opinions, and hot takes. Instead of calling in as a radio show, if you'd like to talk, we just ask that you raise your hand. Be sure to hit the request to talk button in order to join in on the conversation. And raising that hand lets us know that you have something to add on any given topic. We just want to make sure that we aren't putting folks too much on the spot, but we probably will anyways. So let us know.
And for 2024, the Hot Stove will be live every Wednesday at 8 p.m. For any other updates, be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Capital City SG.
And if you happen to miss the Hot Stove, have no fear because we are now going to be posting the Hot Stoves as a podcast on all of your favorite podcasting platforms. Thursday mornings, make sure to check them out and listen to every recorded Hot Stove from the night before. Now, before we get into the show, we just have a couple of announcements.
Now, a little question for you all. Do you love Atleti, but you feel like you're not as plugged in as you'd like to be? I got a solution for you. Become a CCSG member today. $20 gets you access to our members-only Discord, first access to road trips, exclusive merch, and more. And if you're a student, you get a $5 discount, bringing it down to $15. Also, if you are already a member, be sure to regularly check our members-only page on our website and to check the announcements channel on our Discord for our latest.
While you're on the website, be sure to check out the latest from our writers team. We have the Forward Press, summarizing all pre- and post-game pressers, match day and review for those days you want to relive or that you miss, and of course, the return of our weekly player ratings so that you can see how each player did on the day.
And the writers team aren't the only ones cooking up content. Our social media team has been working hard as the team's been putting together full-time. We have new episodes every Thursday following a home game to share the reactions from our fans after each match. Harry connected with some interesting characters following the York game, so keep an eye out for it on YouTube. There's also ATO After the Whistle, our weekly podcast breaking down the game of the week and be answering questions from you. Johnny and Joey have been working incredibly hard and continue to offer their insights on each performance.
And finally, but certainly not least, the Glebe Central Pub is CCSG's home pub for the 2024 season. Join us there all season long for pregame, postgame, and of course, most importantly, our watch parties. We always have great conversations to start the match off, and nothing quite like celebrating a goal or a win like being down at the GCP. We will be there this Thursday for the Copa America matchup between Canada and Argentina. That will kick off at 8 p.m. However, we recommend that you get there as soon as you can in order to reserve your seat, as it will be packed. Similarly, Friday night, we will be hosting a watch party for the Cavalry game at the pub. However, that also lines up pretty well with Game 6 of the Stanley Cup, so be sure to get there early. We're suggesting around 7:30 to make sure that you get a chair and that you can enjoy the game with us at the pub. That's at the Glebe Central Pub, 779 Bank Street, Ottawa's Temple of Football, and home for the Euros, Olympics, and Copa America.
And an also reminder today that if you'd like to speak, please hit the Request to Speak button to join in on all the fun. And if there's a topic you want to chime in on, just raise your hand.
All right, let's jump into it. Isaac, that's a loss that stinks. But I kind of feel like we were due for a loss at this point. The streak can't go on forever. And I think one of my biggest takeaways was really this team showed a hell of a lot of fight going down. You know, once we went down by two, even down by one, we really put on the pressure. And that's something that really you can't take away from us. There were some, a couple of key defensive plays from York that really stopped us from mounting yet another comeback. And while it sucks to lose our streak and give away two goals to a provincial rival, it's really hard not to see a couple of silver linings. You know, 21 shots, 9 on target, we hit the woodwork, forced a couple of great saves. So, Isaac, looking back on this York match, what are your thoughts?
To be honest, I think we just started flat. I wouldn't say we started terribly, we just started flat. There's a lot of places where you could go. Obviously, the big one to me is starting Salter probably wasn't the best idea. I know Ruben maybe needed some rest, but he certainly frustrated quite a few of us in the dub. However, it just came down to those little defensive errors and our inability to finish those quality chances.
Yeah, I think that the two goals that we gave up were pretty soft and very much clear defensive errors. You know, it's our first loss to York in 2024, and we'll be splitting the points down the center, 3 apiece for games at TD Place, as we won't see them again in Ottawa this year. We will see them down in York, and we'll be playing a road trip for that, so keep an eye out for that. But Eddie, welcome to the show. What were your thoughts on our game against York?
This won't be a popular opinion, but it's a needed loss. And I know it happened against the rival, but it's a rival on the field. I don't think any of us faced any kind of online banter from any York fan. I say York fan because they obviously don't have plural fans. You look at our schedule coming up, games against Cavalry, Forge, Pacific, even Vancouver. Honestly, out of those games, I'd rather lose against York than these ones. We need a loss. The past few games we've been playing, not too good. I know a lot of people have said it, that our draws, even the Halifax game, we looked probably worse in some of our wins and draws than we did in this loss. So I like this. It's a clean slate now. It's a wake-up call to Cargo to stop playing around with the formation. It's a wake-up call to our players to hopefully start the game on time for once. And I'm excited to see what we do against Calgary and how we bounce back.
Yeah, and frankly, again, of a loss to have. You know, it felt like we really outplayed York for probably about 60, 70 minutes. So it does, you know, sting, especially giving up another tap into Brian Wright. And, you know, you got to give him credit on that second finish, even though it was really Sissoko playing him onside that enabled it. But, you know, there's some bright spots, too. A beautiful throw-in from Debrienne resulting in Dedic's goal. You know, that was a thing of beauty to behold. And I really thought that we might be able to drag it back. But that's just more from me. So let's turn it over to you, Bryce. Welcome to the show. How do you feel about the York game?
Yeah, isn't there a saying that you learn more from your mistakes than you do from your wins? And I think we've definitely skated by and got some favorable results in games where we shouldn't have. So yes, it was bound to happen. I hate that it happened at home. I hate that it happened to York, but it's York, and that's kind of how it's always gone. We are behind in that series when it comes to wins, draws, and losses. And I don't know. It looks like it's going to be a decade or more before we can actually right that ship. But they didn't look bad. They didn't look bad in that game. I think they looked way better than when they got the draw against Halifax, and that was a lucky come-from-behind, escape-with-a-point type of game. So I'm not that worried about dropping the points to York. We're still on top of the table. So if we can just get back to our winning ways and get some bigger points against some of these bigger opponents, I think we won't be worried about this one very long at all.
And Cavalry certainly is one of those big fish that we got to be wary of. And to our credit, Bryce, we can right the ship by next year. Our all-time record against York is 5-10-2. So we're only 3 wins behind to tie it all up. But Christian, what were your thoughts on the York game?
You know, I think like most people, turn my TV down. I think like most people, I was naturally disappointed with the loss, but I'm going to have to agree with Eddie here, you know. Loss comes at a time in the season where I think we haven't been playing our best football, and I think the team kind of needs to realize that. Like the last couple of games, we kind of got spoiled early in the season watching Atletico win quite convincingly and play pretty beautiful football, so I think a lot of us have realized that that kind of form isn't sustainable over the course of the whole year, despite what our squad looks like on paper. So, yeah, it's tough, but it's even tougher losing to York. But yeah, the next run of form of games is something I'm really looking forward to, and looking forward to the team to making a mark and kind of setting the standard for the rest of the season going forward.
Yeah, I think it's really something where it's a low point, but you know, you really don't realize how high the peaks are if you don't have a few valleys to accentuate it. So we got to have a couple of down games. Luke, I know you're a Cavalry fan, so you might not have caught the York game, but I'm curious if you do have any thoughts on that match as a Cavalry fan.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I didn't watch that game. I'm kind of vaguely aware that York won. But yeah, I haven't really watched the game. I don't really know much about it.
And that's okay. It's the kind of challenge with the CPL is it's only 8 teams, but keeping track of all the games can be a real project. So let's move on to this next game where you might have a little more thoughts. We are going all the way out to Calgary to ATCO Field to take on Cavalry FC. Our first meeting against them this year was a 1-1 draw at home early in the season, which had us all flashing back to the late 2023 stoppage time goal streak, where Cavalry did manage a late goal to eke out a draw. With an all-time record of 8 wins, 2 draws, and 3 losses, this is a team we've often really had our best performances against. Calgary is currently sitting in 6th place with 13 points, which is right outside of a playoff spot. But this year, it's really a tight competition. They're only 1 point behind a playoff spot and 3 points out of 2nd place, depending on this result with Pacific tonight. That means they really need a win to ensure that they keep pace with the other 6 teams looking to climb the table and grab onto some playoff spots. And it means that ATO is going to need to really start continuing that separation between them and the rest of the pack. Isaac, we'll turn to you first. How are you feeling about this week's match against Cavalry?
I'm feeling good. I'm not worried. Obviously, Cavalry will be hungry to get those 3 to shorten the gap. However, I'm just looking to see our consistency on D on Friday. That was the big red flag from the match last week, so I'm looking forward to see how we do that and how we finish our chances.
I am sweating a lot, and it's not just the heat, it's this game. It's really something that, you know, Cavalry has been a little inconsistent this year, and that's to be expected for the start of a season. Losing Bevan and the absence of Ali Moussi has really, you know, changed things for their offense. And it's something, it's kind of hard to tell which one's going to show up. Unfortunately, their last home game, an absolute juggernaut showed up and bullied Forge off the pitch. But their last game against Vancouver, though it was at a neutral venue, and, you know, that certainly had an effect on a narrower pitch, they seemed to really struggle a little bit, especially in that first half. So, Luke, I'll turn it over to you. As a Cavalry fan, how are you feeling about this week's match?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to say. The season so far has been, you know, so incredibly frustrating. Perhaps it's stating the obvious a bit when you've drawn so many games, but it feels like we really always play to the level of our opponent. Like, we played fantastically against the Whitecaps and great against Forge, and then we put up stinkers against, you know, Valor. And so it's really hard to say. If we play to levels that I know we can play to, then I think we can certainly put in a good performance and get in a result, but it's going to be difficult. I think it certainly depends on who is available. I'm not optimistic about Moussi. I think he's going to be out a little while longer. I'm pretty sure Kem Dem is still out, which is a big miss. I'm not sure if Malcolm Shaw's back from international duty. So, yeah, it's really hard to say. I could see this one going either way. I could see it being very, very happy or very, very sad.
If it does help, Rion Moore has returned for Pacific, which suggests that Malcolm Shaw should also be available for Cavalry in terms of international duty. Of course, the injuries are tough to tell. And we'll talk a little bit about those kind of key players for Cavalry in a little bit. But next, we'll head over to you, Christian. What do you think about this match coming up against Cavalry? Wow, Christian figures out his speakers. I'll kick it over to you, Eddie. What are you thinking?
I mean, here's the thing. Nothing's changed, really. On paper, when we're playing our game, no one can beat us. You look at this York game, you look at Halifax. When we want to play and attack, we dominate the field. Our biggest issue so far has been the usual Atletico Ottawa problem of not showing up for the first 20 minutes, and that's usually when stuff happens. So I'm a little bit worried because Cavalry, They have been drawing a lot of games, but they did the same thing last year, and then they went on a crazy run where they only drew like one game for the rest of the season. So they're kind of in the same pattern. I'd rather not wake up that beast. We just lost. I don't want to lose two games in a row. That could start a dangerous landslide with games against Pacific and Forge coming up. Honestly, I might declare as the first must-not-lose game of the season. Regardless of the standings in terms of morale and how the team bounced back, this is a game that we really have to get at least a point. And that means showing up for all 90 minutes, which I'm not confident we can do because I haven't really seen it at all this season.
Yeah, and I think it's something key to recognize is the Cavalry, I believe they're on the exact same points that they had last year when they won the league. So despite their many, many draws, there's still a lot of season to go and a lot of football to be played, and they're at least pulling points out of some of these games. And that's, I think, something that's key to those kind of league-winning teams is being able to manage those draws out of what could have been a loss. Now, a few of those for Cavalry have been wins turned to ties as well, but I definitely feel like the game against us early in the season was pulling a draw from the jaws of defeat. But Bryce, we'll pass it over to you. What do you think about this upcoming match against Cavalry?
Well, I definitely don't think it's a must win or that we need to get the point, but I always disagree with Eddie when it comes to that. I saved that kind of talk for the last few weeks of the season. What is interesting to me is we know those U21 minutes that is becoming a bit of an issue. It's going to be a huge issue if any of those three guys gets hurt. But one of those guys has hardly touched the field at all yet. So I'm hoping that that we see Gabby start, and I'm hoping we actually see Tier start as well. So we can start getting some of those minutes and put that kind of make us feel a little bit more comfortable about that situation. I think we have enough experienced guys on the team to be able to turn it around, to be able to take what happened last weekend, put it behind them, and know what they have to do to play better this week. I mean, the guys we brought in weren't new to the league. We have some experienced veteran players in there. They should all be able to know what it means and know how to get back on track.
Yeah, and I think that leadership is going to be vital moving forward and really making an impact in ensuring that we don't repeat kind of the late season collapse that we had last year. And I think a lot of that comes down to the locker room and the presences in there to help right the ship. Christian, welcome back to the show. What do you think about the Cavalry match?
You know, I think there were a lot of inconsistencies last week that we might have picked on a lot over the course of this season. And, you know, Cavalry are an interesting prospect. Obviously, they haven't scored against us this year, technically. I think that they're always an opposition that has the capability to come out of the match with a point at least, especially against this Ottawa side. So it's a bit of a daunting one. You know, I'm not too confident going away to ATCO Field, coming up against Malcolm Shaw, who I think, if not this most recent international call-up, the one before that did pretty well. I mean, I think he scored at least two goals in a game. So no, I think it's a tougher match than a lot of people give it credit for. You know, Cavalry are always a tough side, and despite some of their losses this year, you know, Bevan, Moosey, I think one of their midfielders retired. I think that they're still obviously a very capable CPL opposition, so we have to respect them. So I'm not counting my chickens before they hatch. You know, I'm a little bit wary of what this opposition poses.
And look, the first loss of the year has to be humbling to some extent. So, you know, I think it's important that you know, come to pass and that we prepare ourselves for the fact that this is going to be a hard-fought year. Even though we've had a phenomenal start, any game we can lose and any game we can win. So there's a lot of opportunities, I think, for growth and for development. But I'll kick it over to you, Jen, for the last word before we talk a little bit more about some standouts and threats on Cavalry's side. What are your thoughts on the Cavalry game?
Yeah, I'm pretty optimistic. I feel like in the past couple of games, you know, against in the game against Halifax and the game against York, we didn't really give up until the end, right? Until the final whistle. Even in the game against Halifax, we clawed our way back from 2-0 in the and tied it up in the 101st minute. So I know that if we are there the full 90 minutes, we give it the full 90, I know we can pull out a win. I think that will be very helpful in the standings, because even though we're out ahead in the standings, if we can get the 3 points today, we'll be in a pretty good shape to stay on top of the standings for kind of the foreseeable future. Yeah, I'm feeling optimistic. I know we can do it. I think if we're just there the full 90, we can. And, you know, hopefully this loss last weekend, if it encourages the boys to just kind of buckle down and focus on what they need to do, I know we can do it. If it ends up being a demoralizing thing, then that does have the potential to snowball. But I think we can get them.
I think so, too. And I have the unfortunate news to share that York just scored a second goal while down to 10 men after Ricci's red card in their matchup today. You know, unfortunately, it was another goal participation for Brian Wright, who also scored in this game. So it's he's continuing to do well in his York season. And York is, you know, they are on a big bump in terms of, you know, that new manager energy. So, Eddie, I see your hands up. I'll kick it over to you, and then we'll move on to some more cavalry threats.
Yeah, you mentioned that this is going to be a tough battle throughout the season, and I agree. But honestly, looking at this next stretch of games, this is such a crucial part of our season. We're playing against Cavalry, playing against Forge, Pacific. These are people, teams that we should be competing against for the title, and most of these games will be our second time facing them this season. So if we can manage a couple wins here, start going a little streak against these teams, that's huge for the title race already, because that's already half the games done, and that's already beating them in six-point games, right? Or even getting a tie, you're splitting the points and stopping them from catching up. So this is very, very crucial. York, obviously, now are suddenly becoming dark horses against Pacific. I still don't think that they can, you know, they can make it a big title push, but end of the day, we still split our home series, so we still have the away games to go to. So honestly, this stretch of games can really determine our season, I believe. Like Jen said, it could snowball. If we don't get the results we need, it could really affect us. But on the other side, if we can get some big results here, I think this is going to be a really good cushion we can use.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think there's a lot of road to run, and at the end of the day, I think something that has continued is that we are a very strong team away from home. It is a place that we've gained a lot of points this season. So there's a lot of hope that if we can continue that away form, we'll really be able to run away with it a little bit. Jen, I see your hand up again. I assume that is the connection to Brian Wright, if you'd like to you know.
All I got to say is that we're top of the table and we're going to win the league, and they're afraid of rainbows. So who's the real winner?
Yeah, you know, it's a good point. It's a good point. We're still riding high. Now, the big thing for this week is I think there's a number of key threats against Cavalry. And now, Ali Moussi, of course, we don't know about. You know, Cavalry has been without Ali Moussi now for a few weeks. And we're really not sure if he's going to play. Luke had mentioned that he thinks he's still a little ways out for his recovery. But, you know, Isaac, let's start with you. What do you think Ali Moussi brings to his Cavalry team, and how sorely missed do you think he's going to be from this lineup?
The thing with Ali Moussi is that he plays a complete game. You know, he's the kind of player in the Cavalry lineup that seems to be their spark plug and seems to be the most consistent player when he's on the field and healthy. And as much as you can say that him missing could be a key factor into their streakiness, they still got some pieces that can make you, I'm looking for the word, that could scare
you.
Make you pay for it. And Moussi is just their spark plug. And I feel like once he comes back, Calgary could hop on a little run.
Yeah, no, I think he's definitely a player that has great distribution, his attacking presence and pace really takes a lot of attention and give that other striker a lot to work with. But Luke, let's hear from you. What do you think Ali Moussi really brings to this team? And what do you think is missing with him gone? Do you think it's a big, big loss?
To be honest, I've been Ali Moussi's biggest critic in the past, probably from a Calvary standpoint. But, you know, you don't know what you got till it's gone. He's been out now for, most of the season, and I can say I was very, very wrong. We're sure missing him a lot. He brings certainly a lot of that creativity that I think no one else on this team can bring. He brings that ability to move the ball towards the strikers that certainly no one else can, although I think Wyshevsky has done that certainly to a high level this year. But I think he also just pulls so many defenders with him, like even when he's off the ball, so that opens up space for the other forwards. And that's all stuff that's kind of compounded and mixed with losing Bevan in the same year. It's been a pretty big double blow. So I'm hoping we'll get him back as soon as possible.
And look, I've watched my fair share of Ali Moussi balls over the net to the moon and back. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's that presence that he brings that is so effective. And I think his distribution really speaks to enabling the other players around him. But that's just a little bit about Moussi. And again, I think you're right. I think he's going to be out for a little while longer. You know, it's one of those injuries where it feels like you hear about it coming back, like that big return. And unfortunately, I certainly haven't heard any news. And we'll have to wait to the pressers to really confirm it and find out more. Oh, Luke, your hand shot up. Maybe you have a few more details for us.
Yeah, I just do think that we did rush him back for that Whitecaps game. I remember he played like 30 minutes or so in the second leg, and I think that probably did not help at all, because I remember before then he was, you know, a week away or so, and now it's just been radio silence. So as much as I understand playing him in the Whitecaps game, that probably was not the best for our long-term hopes.
Yeah, and I think it's something that we know all too well. Of course, Kevin DeSantos took a bit of a bad hit in the York game at the beginning of the season, and then we brought him back out and played him against Calvary, actually, at home again, which likely only exacerbated his injury, and now he's on crutches. And he might be missing the rest of the season, having only played 42 minutes. So definitely a deep loss there to some weird depth. And we'll talk a little bit about him in a few minutes. But let's just rewind a little bit and talk about what other threats Calvary has and what other standouts we should be worried about. Isaac, we'll kick it over to you. What do you think? Who else outside of the possibly missing Ali Moussi do we need to worry about?
Well, obviously this one's a no-brainer. Tobias Wyshevsky's just been scoring goals for fun recently. Kind of on his own little Ruben-like streak going. Obviously, Dan Klomp's also fifth in the league in completed passes, and he's key on set pieces, and he's just a defensive beast. So look out for those two. And also, Fraser Ayer just came out of nowhere and is the biggest surprise of the season so far, with great service from the wing. Again, like I said earlier, they have these threats that can close out the game, make you pay, whatever you want to call it.
And of course, they have our darling Malcolm Shaw, who we know he can punish us, and we've seen him play. There's a lot of talent there. I think you're right. Fraser Ayer has been such a surprise, at least for me. I don't know about others, and I'll be curious to hear Luke's thoughts as a Calvary fan. But I wasn't really expecting the Fraser Ayer revival tour in 2024. He's had absolutely great service from the wings and has been a real engine, especially in Moussi's absence. And I can't help but agree, Wyshevsky's back to the form that we kind of expected from him and saw in Edmonton, and that's a terrifying prospect. I'll pass it over to you, Eddie. Are there any big threats from this Calvary side you're worried about?
I mean, there's Willie Accio. He's a threat in multiple ways, but I don't know. I think Cavs are the same team as last year, so the players that were threats last year are probably the same threats this year, but again, we're a different team, and I don't know. For me, I don't know, I'm just stupid or just confident, but Ottawa beats themselves in these games. I think we have too much talent and we should be able to have the tactics to isolate anyone and get this win. So I'm just focused on how we start the game, that first 20 minutes. And hey, can we ride that wave and take control, or are we just going to get run over?
Yeah. And I mean, it's the Jekyll and Hyde effect of who's showing up today to the office. Christian, who are you scared of or worried about in Calvary?
You know, I'll flip that and I'll mention a name that nobody's going to mention. And I'm not even slightly worried about a jinx here. And that is Leighton Brooks. This guy stinks. This guy is not even CPL level. I watch as many CPL games as I can. And unfortunately, that means watching Calgary games. And this guy is not good. So nobody's going to mention him. I'm not worried about Cavalry offense. You know, they're missing a couple key players. They've got a couple all right CPL level players. But man, if they start Leighton Brooks, I am laughing.
Look, I feel like this is just giving locker room material away between Christian, Harry, and Eddie. I mean, other teams can feast on these, so I hope they're listening. Luke, who do you think Calvary has that we should really be worried about as ATO fans?
Yeah, so I'm just going to address a couple things. I think this season, Akio has been a threat only in one way, and it's certainly not on the pitch. On the topic of Fraser Aird, I think last season he was very, very good. I think he often flew under the radar, even among Calvary fans, because when we got rid of Alarcon, a lot of fans were confused at that. A lot of fans thought he was better to Aird. But this season, I think he's certainly taken on that spot, and you know, he's been doing great this year. Dan Klomp, of course, for my money, is the best player in the CPL. He's just been doing great, as he always has been this year. In recent weeks, I think Carducci's been doing a lot better. He got criticized a lot in the offseason and in the first few weeks, but I think he's been doing a lot better recently. So I think our defense will be quite solid, especially with Kobza coming back into form as well. It's just a matter of scoring goals, and if Toby can do enough for that on his own, and if Malcolm Shaw can help him out. I haven't been that big on Malcolm Shaw so far, but I mean, I'm sure he'll come into form eventually.
And Malcolm is going to be competing with Warshevsky for those starts and those minutes. So it's going to be hard for him to break in. And I think he'll likely be used as an impact sub in this game. I don't expect to see him start only because I think Warshevsky will. And the other thing to keep in mind about Malcolm is he is very flexible. I mean, I've seen a striker played at left back before at this rate. So, you know, he's really willing to do what he needs to do for the team. So we've got a soft spot for him, but I definitely think Warshevsky's got him beat on form, unless Calvary wants to match us for picking the less out of shape kind of striker in terms of goal scoring. You know, I think we're going to see Warshevsky. One more name that I'm going to throw out that is a bit of a dark horse, perhaps, for ATO fans, Luke will certainly recognize. Shamit Schoem, I've found, has been a very constant presence in the midfield for Calvary, and it's really caused a lot of headaches. Outside of his red card in the Canadian Championship, I think he's been pretty phenomenal this year in terms of, you know, really helping in the press. And I think that's something that Calvary does well, is really pressing on teams to really get that, you know, ball control and force those errors. But yeah, I'll remind people, if you do have something to say on a given topic, that you do raise your hand, just because I know that some of these, you know, some people are a little less familiar with other teams' lineups and things like that. And if I don't see any hands, we will take a quick break for a couple of announcements. Oh, I see Christian's hand. Pass it to you before the announcements. Go ahead, Christian.
You mentioned him, but Shamit Schoem, I'm not worried about him. I'm not as big a fan of him as you are, obviously.
And look, I think he can get a little hot under the collar, but I do think he's had a pretty solid year, and it's somebody I'll be keeping an eye on for sure. All right, let's head over to some announcements.
First off, just another reminder to follow us on all our socials at Capital City SG. We have tons of information that is shared, as well as great videos, clips, and content. So make sure to follow our socials to keep up to date with the latest ATO and CCSG news, and enjoy the best our social team has to offer.
Don't forget to become a CCSG member today. $20 gets you access to our members-only Discord, typically where we find information earlier than most. and first access to road trips, exclusive merch, and much more. If you're a student, you get a $5 discount, so that's only $15. And if you're already a member, make sure to regularly check our members-only page on our website and to check the announcements channel on our Discord for the latest in CCSG news. We also have partnered with PrideRaiser again this Pride Month in order to raise funds for Kindspace. That is a community center here in Ottawa that offers resources, events, social, and educational programming. Their work celebrates and supports and prioritizes oppressed sexual orientations, gender identities, and expressions. Make sure to head over to our PrideRaiser page, which is pinned on our socials, in order to help pledge. We pledge per goal, so be wary. When our offense is clicking, we're going to be raising a good amount of change. So help us continue to make a key impact with our PrideRaiser campaign.
And don't forget to join us at the GCP for pregame pints, chats, and watch parties. We will be there on Friday. They'll get there early to get your spot, as we're all aware. And we'll also be there for all Copa America, Olympics, and Euro matches. The GCP is CCSG's home pub for the 2024 season, as well as Ottawa's Temple of Football. See you there at 779 Bank Street.
All right, let's get back to the show. You know, I think the elephant in the room, something a lot of fans have been kind of chomping at the bit to talk about, is lineup selection. The two biggest recent changes, of course, in our York game were the choice of Sammy Salter over Ruben Del Campo and playing Chris Twardek on the bench with Sissoko instead playing at right back. Sissoko was playing out of position while Roy, another right back, and Morer, a right back who seems to be very gifted as a winger, both did not play in that natural position. Now, for a little bit of perspective to start off, I think there's something to be said for giving players rest when they need it, which is what I'm presuming is the case for Twardek, and allowing players to earn spots through training, which is what I can only assume happened with Salter. You know, Isaac, do you think the criticism of Cargo is warranted on this, or do you think that this is kind of a natural progression? And if it is a problem, what do you want to see to quell those roster management worries?
Well, to me, there's only one problem, and that's Sammy Salter, and I don't really want to waste any time bashing him because it's the same issue week in and week out. I know Christian's not happy about that one, but... It's just frustrating to watch. I don't think I've ever seen a striker refuse to shoot as much as he. And other than that, I mean, I'm all for giving players rest when they need it. Twardek, I mean, he's probably our most consistent player, in my opinion. So I don't know if resting, quote unquote, resting him was the right idea. But there's more players who I wish I'd see more, obviously, like Abu Sakho, who I think is probably our most underrated player on the roster. It's just his pace, man, is something is so fun to watch.
Yeah, and I think that speaks a little bit to putting some more faith and maybe giving some more minutes to players like Roy, like Sakho, when we need to rotate. And, you know, if they're not up to snuff, if they're not up to the level they need to be, it kind of goes back to, well, okay, are they going to get there? Is there going to be a time that they get that faith? Or is it just kind of taking up roster space and you know, stringing them along? I think that's definitely something that we have to kind of question and think about in defense of Sammy Salter, because I do think that this last game was actually a pretty good showing from his part. I think that, yes, he did take a lot of extra touches. Yes, there are still problems with his game. But I really do think that he did put quite a bit on display that wasn't, you know, the usual Sammy Salter fare that we've come to expect. And I really think that that's a credit to him and the work he's doing in training to earn that spot. It's just that, of course, Ruben Del Campo is in much better form and he's been performing much better. So it makes the competition a lot easier to decide who's winning it. Isaac, I see your hand up, so I'll kick it back to you before we go to our lovely audience.
I just have one more point to add. Players also develop from minutes on the pitch, not just training. Again, I'm just a big Sakho fan. So, I mean, maybe I'm a bit biased here that I want to see more of him, but you could say the same more for Gabby, Roy, even Marer, who's shown a lot of promise in these last few matches. So be interesting to see.
No, I agree. I think there's a lot to that kind of actual game day experience, not just training, but getting those minutes, getting out there. And I think it's something that I hope Cargo kind of takes on and recognizes, because that's how we're going to get good minutes out of Tier Walker. That's how we're going to get good minutes out of Roy, is giving them time in gameplay scenarios to really, you know, make or break. And look, if it's not working out, we also need to be ready to, you know, put an end to, you know, experiments once they've run their course. But I got to think we haven't even tried on some of them. So I'll kick it over to you, Eddie. What do you think about the roster management and lineup selection?
Here's the thing, man. You have to know your role as a player. If you are a bench player, one good performance coming off the bench isn't good enough to get you in the starting lineup. Whatever you do in practice either has to be weighted with what you do in the game. And that's the issue with Cargo. Salter comes in, he scores a fluffer. Oh, maybe he's playing really well in practice. It doesn't matter. Del Campo has proven in game situations he can deliver. Salter, when given the exact same situations and exact same minutes, does not deliver. So the only way Salter should be making the starting lineup is if he comes off the bench in multiple games and performs and delivers goals. Then, as a collective, we all can agree, yes, he deserves a shout. But one game off the bench where he scores a fluff goal is not enough to get him as a starting position. And like you said, he didn't play too bad, but he's at a completely different level than Del Campo. Del Campo brings a whole different level to a game of energy. We lacked energy in that game. And something with Salter. He's not in the right positions. He doesn't have the confidence. And don't give him pity starts. You want people that get game time situations, play them as subs when we have control of the game. Then you throw on the players like Roy. You throw on the players like Salter to give them some confidence. But you don't start games against rivals in critical parts with players who aren't at that level yet. That is the issue. And I hope Cargo has understood this lesson, taking it to the fact, and will never do that again. Because that's ridiculous and should not be happening from a top team with trophy aspirations.
You know, it's... And something I will say is, I've heard from some sources that part of Salter's start was his performances in training and getting and earning that spot. So I think that's something to consider that unfortunately, we don't get to be privy to all the training sessions and know that those kinds of things for the most part outside of those moments when we're told. And I think that that's something that is very important, that players can earn their way into, you know, starting minutes and getting time. Because if you lose that, then it can very easily demoralize a team and create conflicts within the team where, okay, I can't, you know, earn a start through practice. I'm not getting minutes on the pitch. So it kind of spirals from there. I do agree, though. I think that, you know, Cargo's kind of given him his shot, and unfortunately, he didn't quite live up to expectations. And it's going to be Del Campo that we're calling for, and Del Campo that we need for the next little while, to be sure. Eddie, I see your hand up. I'll let you respond, and then I'll kick it over to you, Bryce.
Yeah, I mean, like the podcast said, you know, Eden Hazard, one of the best players in the Premier League to ever play. Well, I don't know, ever play, but from our generation, he was a horrible practicer. At the end of the day, sure, you practice well. We don't get points from practicing. We get points from what you do on the field. So if you're practicing well, and when you get 20 minutes a game to do something, if you start producing, sure, you get a start. But if you're practicing well, and then we're throwing you on the pitch, and you're not doing anything, you don't deserve to start until you show us. So I'm not saying bench him forever. I'm saying bring him on the 70th minute for games. Let's see what you do. In 20 minutes, if you're practicing well, you should be able to do enough to at least make us happy. And I think that's the difference. So practicing, to be honest with you, I don't really care what they do in practice. I think practicing should get you some play time. It definitely should not get you start times ever.
Fair enough. I will kick it over to you, Bryce. What are your thoughts on the roster management and lineup selection?
Practice? We're talking about practice? Seriously, we're talking about practice. No, I'm going to say if you don't like that York score, you know, Montreal's up 2-0 against Red Bulls, so that's a much better game. I, of course, am a Ruben lover. I want that kid to play every start. Salter, yes, he's shown that he can score some goals, but he's also shown us that he doesn't really have that press in him. He doesn't have that speed all the time. He's got the hold-up play, but when we want a fast start out of the gate, that's not what we need. So I don't want to see Sammy starting. I don't. And if he does, I want it to be a pairing with Ruben because that's the formation we're playing or something. But the other guys are showing us a lot more on the field. And with the I want that high speed, the high level intensity play. And that's what Ruben brings. That's what Morer brings. That's what Antonoro brings. Those are the guys I want to see on the pitch to start these games. I think having a fast start and getting a lead is going to be key. These last two games, we've played from behind. So we need to get out there, get a good start, get something on the board, and then play behind that. And I want those young guys to be playing.
I totally understand. Again, it's something that's got to develop and really... Really, I think it's time that development is over. It's really time to move forward and stabilize that lineup. Jen, I see your hand up. I will kick it over to you. What are your thoughts on some of the choices that have been made in terms of lineup selection?
Yeah, I have to concur about Salter. I feel like we've given him a lot of chances. And, you know, maybe he's the guy who comes on when Ruben is tired. I think it's interesting that we have a pretty clear number one and number two for our strikers. But and when it comes to our goalkeepers, you know, I'm happy with either. You know, I'm a big fan of Allstate Nate, but Yesley's great too. And yeah, I would like to see, I think DeBrienne has been on fire the past couple of games, so I'm excited to see what he can bring to Calgary. I think also Aparicio is also always giving 110%. And also, I really want to see some more Sacco as well. I don't know why he's not playing, but I'd like to see more of him this season.
There's a hunger for more Sacco, and particularly given, you know, we could use a little bit of depth on the wings. So we definitely have a call out there for what we'd like to see. And before we move on to talk a little bit about players perhaps knowing where they stand, what their role is, and, of course, Mateo DeBrienne, I'll kick it over to the president of the Sammy Salter Fan Club, Christian. What are your thoughts on some of the roster management and lineup choices?
You know, obviously, I'm unhappy that Sammy Salter didn't score last week, but I don't think he played as terribly as some people are making out to be. But, you know, it is tough. I don't think it's that clear of a choice between number one and number two up top. You know, we have to remember Ruben last year had, a run of like 19 appearances without a goal. Obviously, coming into a new system and adjusting that is part of it. But still, you know, there might be stretches of that where Sammy Salter does have to come into the first team and start a game, the odd game. But Going back a little bit further, Sissoko was mentioned as well. And I think at the end of the Valor game, both of them obviously combined for Sammy Salter's goal, but not even just his goal. I think they both provided a good little bit of link-up play off of the bench. So I think that I'll have to agree with everyone else that their best position for both Sissoko and Sammy Salter is off the bench. But, you know, for whatever reason, people are talking about like, oh, Sammy Salter is best, or he's being played out of position. He's not being fed the right kind of balls, but that's not really his decision to make. You know, obviously he's a certain type of player, and he's going to come up, and Cargo wanted him, or someone wanted him at the team to make that kind of transfer last year. So it's an interesting proposition because we have to make him adjust to our formation as much as he can adjust to what we have to play, you know? So I don't know. I'm still happy with Sammy Salter. I don't think he's played as poor as he has. Both his goals this season have been off the bench, so I think that's definitely his best position. But, you know, if Ruben's tired, if Ruben's hurt, you know, if Cargo wants Sammy Salter to start, then I don't think we should critique him as much as we do already. You know, obviously, we saw last year that Ruben wasn't the quickest to score goals in the league, and he wasn't the quickest to provide goal contributions in general. And you know, we didn't have a great season last year, but Sammy Salter still was one of our highest goal scorers in what wasn't a great season. But still, you know, I think we just have to give him time like any other player we do on this team.
I agree, and I think, you know, that time is best served, as kind of Eddie pointed out, coming off the bench and really continuing to score those, you know, 1-2 goals that he does against some more tired legs. I think that's going to be a place that he can really shine and really make sure that we're using his talents to the fullest. Because really that's what the name of the game is in lineup selection and in picking players, is getting the most out of the roster that you have. So let's move on a little bit. You know, recently in Notre, there was an article by Julien Paquette who spoke to both Matteo Debrian and Sam Salter, with Sam Salter actually, you know, saying that he understands kind of that he's got a role in this team to play, and that role might not always be starting. And that, I think, is a very important kind of piece of recognition that he has in the position that he is. As, you know, a striker who might not be getting the starts. But we've spoken plenty about Sam Salter. In that same interview with Le Trois, Matteo Debrien talked a little bit about settling back in and becoming that player that he was in Winnipeg and that was really performing even at Carleton, because he's felt that he hasn't really been up to that level. And these past two performances, he said, you know, I think I'm kind of getting back there. I have to agree. I think that he has really turned it up in these last few matches. So, Isaac, I got to know, do you think he's going to be a key difference maker against Calgary and continue to build on that? Or do you think he's just kind of plateaued back at where he was against Valor?
To me, Mateo's always been a player who's built up like that. So I'm going to say, yes, he will be a key factor on Friday. In fact, I am predicting that he will score and we're going to see his signature flip for the first time this season.
The flip always stresses me out. And I know it stresses his parents out and it stresses everybody else out because we're just terrified he's going to hurt himself. But it is a signature for a reason. You know, Eddie, you've got a little more stake in this knowing him. What do you think of Mateo's recent run of form? And do you think he's going to be a key difference maker coming up this week?
Man, Mateo is slowly getting into that Carleton form, which is a danger to the rest of the league. And the thing with Carleton is he was playing left wing. Here he's doing left back. And I think he doesn't have the full chemistry with whoever plays in the left wing. If it's Balu, they're still missing that chemistry. So there's a lot more room for growth. And the fact he's still this solid right now, I love it. I think he's going to be a big impact in Calgary. I don't know one game that he wasn't a big impact so far this season. He keeps improving. And honestly, this comes back and down to who he's playing with. I think he needs someone with good chemistry he can overlap with. And we've kind of been missing that so far this season. But yes, I think he's going to have a big impact on the game.
I'm really hopeful that he's able to build a little bit of that relationship with Belu Tabla that Bassett has, and kind of build up some of that chemistry, because I think our left side can be incredibly dangerous with that. Jen, what are your thoughts on Mateo? I know you mentioned that he was a player you're looking forward to seeing. What do you think about this kind of idea that he hasn't reached that final form yet and he's still building towards it? How do you feel about that?
I mean, if he's still building, then I'll be happy to see what his final form is. You know, he's been pretty amazing the past two games, and if this isn't the best we've yet to see from him, then he's going to be pretty darn amazing for us moving forward.
He's one of those players that, like Antinoro, like Twardek, like Aparicio, that really just leaves it all on the field, and being able to match that with skill is something that I'm very much looking forward to seeing really put into action, and to see him get off the mark with a goal with some more assists. Unfortunately, his throw-in was not credited as an assist. I'm sure if you'd like to know why, you can ask Patrick Gibson. But I think that he's really a contributing player that is going to be key to our performance against Calgary. And speaking about Chris Twardek as a player who doesn't quit, his absence from last week's starting lineup and missing him as that kind of key supporting player on the right flank, you know, it was a sore loss. And I got to say, is that something that we should be worried about? Or do we think that this was just standard rotation? Isaac, I'm going to go to you. How important is it that we see Twardek starting on Friday?
Seeing as these are one of our most consistent players, like Eddie said, it's probably our first must-not-lose game of the season, and it's super important that he gets the start. He just causes so much havoc, and he's such a beast out there that he can make some magic happen.
Yeah, and again, he's a key contributor on this side. Bryce, I'm curious what your thoughts are. How important is it that we see Chris starting on Friday?
I don't know. I don't know if it is. I know we're like almost halfway through the season, but I think we're still, you know, we're questioning the lineups and everything else. We don't know how healthy everybody is. I don't think it's as important right now. I've already said that I wanted to get some more minutes from some of the younger players. That's got to start sometime. If that doesn't start, if some of the other guys are still starting, I don't know if that's all coherent, but that's how I feel.
Well, so would you rather see Roy get the start than Twardek?
See, Roy hasn't played enough for me to say yes, I want him to start. But some of the other things we talked about, like Sacco, I can see those things happening and making a difference. I don't know. Do I want Roy to start, and then if he's not good enough, we slip him in at half, or do I want us to try and build a lead and get him in there at half? Because if I'm saying build a lead and get in there at half, if it's 0-0 at half, do we have enough trust to put him in and have that be the first that he gets of that game? Do I mean, I'm almost rather see him start, and if a half hour, I know Cargo doesn't make early subs, if a half hour in, he's not pulling weight and he's putting us in bad positions, sub him out, and at least we got 30 minutes out of him on the day.
And look, I think Cavs really have a strong press, which can be very hard on defenders. So it's a tricky situation, and I understand a desire to see more of Roy, but I think we'll be better served, as Eddie kind of suggested, with getting these players time off the bench rather than time off the start, and kind of building a lead and then having them protect it rather than need to build it. So I think that's definitely an element to consider. Christian, what about you? What do you think about Chris Twardek, and should he be starting on Friday? Do we need him to start on Friday? What does his absence mean? What are you thinking?
You know, I think it's all up to him and how Cargo feels with his fitness and how his performance has been in training. I don't think the absence of Chris Twardek is necessarily a bad thing. I think we do have capable deputies in the one and only Danny Morer. I think he's better suited maybe as a right back replacement, you know, and then we maybe focus on a more defensive-sided center back pairing, maybe Luke Singh out for Tier Walker, someone less attack focused. So we'll see. But no, I think that Zach Roy has shown a little bit of capability, but I'm not sure that I'm ready to make him a starting right back in this case. So like I said, it's all up to fitness. Depending on how Twardek's feeling, I want him to start every game he can, but I'm not gonna push him into situations if he's not ready for fitness.
Yeah, and I think the other thing to kind of recognize is that Roy hasn't got many minutes. He hasn't been able to show us kind of what he's capable of. And that means that we're not going to be able to really judge it from here. So it's going to be faith that the coach has and can impart as to whether or not he plays at all. I just hope that doesn't come too late. One last subject before we get to some score predictions. You know, there's been some pretty big news this week. According to Tony Marinaro of the Sick Podcast, Sean Rea is looking to make a comeback to the CPL and specifically come play for Ottawa. So that is extremely exciting, given Sean Rea was a phenomenal talent for Valor. However, there's a little challenge that there is. One thing in our roster construction has been that we focused on building the best possible roster to start the year. And that means using up our cap. So the big question is, how would we make room for a player like Sean Rea? And importantly, do we need Sean Rea, Isaac? Or do we need more defensive depth? Is this a good signing? And how do we make room for him?
Well, I would say we don't need him, but he'll certainly help. I mean, obviously, just look at what he's done for Valor alone. And obviously, this guy has some experience playing some MLS minutes. So he's a great player. Again, I'm just interested to see how we'd fit him into the team, if we have to sell someone, you know, if he's just a replacement for an injury. I don't know.
You know, I think I will present three major theories that I have. And
okay.
If folks want to respond to them, in terms of making room, I think the first option is, if Kevin DeSantos's injury is as dire as it seems, petitioning the league for relief and trying to get cap relief for his injury. It is a season-ending injury, unfortunately. You know, that may be the case. So we would then apply to the league, because we've already gotten cap relief from Jonathan Grant. So it would need to be approved by the league and supported, likely because he went down 2 games into the season. That's incredibly early, especially with 42 minutes. And both his and Jonathan Grant's, despite Jonathan Grant's injury history, both are still freak accidents. You know, guys getting injured for the entire season like that with season-ending injuries, you know, that's not something that is really predictable. So that is option one, is the league grants us relief for Kevin Dos Santos missing. You know, that is option A. Option B, there's a sale. Now, I would guess it would need to be Bassett, Aparicio, maybe even Didich. There needs to be a sale to make room. Now, with Bassett and Manny, at least Rea can fill a similar role. If it's Didich, we're in trouble, because suddenly our center backs and the pool of center backs has gotten very thin. So you might as well swim. And that can be very scary. So perhaps it is a sale. Perhaps we are moving Bassett onwards, or perhaps we're moving Manny onwards. Both have shown quite a bit this year, their promise and their talent. You know, there's a lot of potential in both of those players that I think other teams might be interested in. And option three, which is the least likely in my opinion, is that we have a few mutual contract terminations with players who aren't playing. Players like maybe Abusako, like maybe can't actually be Zach Roy because he's under 21, and we need three U21s to be under the cap or under the roster rules. And Piccioli, who also hasn't gotten minutes, has, you know, he's under the U Sports contracts, which don't count towards the cap. So really, it would just be getting rid of a player like Sacco to make enough room to maybe fit Rea under a loan. So A, KDS is done for the year with an injury that the league gives us. Two, it's a fire sale. Or three, we're getting rid of some players who aren't playing for us. Eddie, what's your pick? And do we need Sean Rea?
Do we need Sean Rea? No. Obviously, we'll take him. I mean, I'm confused. If KDS is injured, Sean Rea isn't really the best replacement for him. I don't think he has the pace to be on the left wing. It just seems like he'll just join an already crowded midfield. He'll keep pushing players down. I don't think we're ever going to see Piccioli at this rate, or even Antonoro, if we bring in Sean Rea. I don't know, man. It's obviously we'll take him. I trust Tony, but at the same time, it just seems like a very weird transfer that doesn't really directly help us. I don't know if that's going to solve the issues with Balu and needing more rest or fixing KDS. I don't think we're selling anyone. I don't know. It's very confusing. It'll be funny for it to happen, but I don't know. I don't know about this one, John.
And look, roster moves aren't meant to be funny. They're meant to make us a better team. Christian, what are your thoughts on the Rea transfer, and which of those three options do you think are most likely?
You know, I am not sure that we definitely need him, but I think it would be hard-pressed to make sense in terms of a roster move if we were to bring in Rea and Didich leaves, because obviously the rumor mill has also stated that Fernando Lopez is still somewhat involved in decision-making for the rest of this season for this team. So I don't think he'd see to it that we bring in a star-studded Rolls-Royce defender for this league and sell him halfway throughout the season and bring in an attacking midfielder who doesn't really fit with the play style that we're looking for, and especially the reinforcements that we're looking for, depending on what we've shown so far early in the season. So, no, you know, as good a player as Sean Rea was in the CPL with Valor and his MLS minutes, you know, I'm not sure that we need him. But whichever way that he does come in through, I'm hoping that KDS isn't out for the season. So maybe a return sooner than later. I know the crutches aren't a great sign, but yeah, if Rea comes in, if he doesn't, I'm not too bothered.
You know, I think really we can't undersell how talented Sean Rea is. I think that Montreal gave up a little early, you know, and that really is their loss. I think he does have a lot of quality, and especially if he's coming in to be a replacement for someone like Bassett. Keeping in mind, Ollie Bassett's in the last year of his contract in Ottawa. I'm not sure there's a ton of cap space to sign him next year and keep a lot of this core together. So if it is a Bassett sale, I think Sean Rea slots right in to that position very well and fills that hole while also, you know, keeping some stability. Bryce, I'll kick it over to you. What are your thoughts on the Rea rumors?
Well, I think the real problem is everybody wants to play in Ottawa. Like, that's what it is. If you're a player of any skill, if you want to play in front of fans that care, if you want to hear your name screamed by at least 4,000 people, you want to play in Ottawa. And I think the Bassett thing is a very plausible explanation. It was a year ago when we all thought he was going to be sold in the Premier League offseason, you know, in the Europe offseason. I think he still has aspirations to play somewhere else. I could definitely see that. And if that's the move, you know, Sean Rea, you could bring in worse to replace Ollie Bassett, that's for sure.
Well, we're coming to the end of our show, so let's wrap it up with some score predictions. Isaac, turn over to you. What do you think the score is going to be, and who are you most excited to see on the pitch on Friday?
You know, I'm going to say it's going to be a 2-2 draw with the Mateo goal. Another player I'm looking forward to seeing, I would have to say, Scope Blue Tabla.
Fair enough. We'll kick it over to you, Eddie. What is your score prediction, and who do you want to see on the pitch on Friday?
I'm going a tight 1-1 game. I'm excited to see Balu Tabla and see whether he's finally going to put the ball in the net. And I'm also hoping that Canada doesn't get blown out tomorrow against Argentina and we get the score goal.
Love to hear it. Hopefully we'll see you at the GCP for that game. Bryce, what is your score prediction and who are you most looking forward to seeing on the pitch on Friday?
So I think it's also going to be a 1-1 draw. Unfortunately, I think Eddie's going to get his other wish and Balu's going to get some rest. So I'm going to be excited to watch Mateo score that one goal for us.
Me too. He's a great kid and I'm really looking forward to seeing him off the bump. Christian, what is your score prediction and who are you most looking forward to seeing play on Friday?
Keeping it to New York, I'm going with the 1-1, but Sammy Salter to shut up the haters.
There we go. There we go. That's the Christian we know and love. Jen, kick it over to you. What is your score prediction, and who are you most looking forward to seeing?
Well, last time I made a prediction on the hot stove, I said 5-0, and it turned out I wasn't optimistic enough. So I'm going to say 3-0 Atletico, and I think the boys, after what happened last weekend, they're going to be out for blood. They're going to want to get back on top. So 3-0 Atletico. I'm excited to see Matteo de Brienne. He's been on fire the past two games, and if he keeps this up, he's one of our best players. And yeah, I think at the end of the day, they're going to need a truck to bring these guys to the glue factory when we're done with them.
Well, I'm a little less optimistic. I think it is going to be a 1-1 draw. It's going to be a hard, hard-fought battle, and I'm really looking forward to seeing Antonoro play again. I know we haven't mentioned him a whole lot tonight, but the energy he brings to the pitch really, you know, I think it's something that few players bring. And we're fortunate that we have so many, be it Twardek, be it Aparicio, be it De Brienne. But really, I think that having him continue to develop, particularly on that right wing or in the middle, would be fantastic. And to continue to build some of those points towards a U21. But that is our show. Thank you so much to everyone for tuning in, sharing your thoughts, and chatting with us this evening. Be sure to follow us on all of our socials at Capital City SG. Always a lot of news and content dropping all the time, and you don't want to miss a beat.
And if you're not a member, become one by visiting CapitalCitySupporters.com. Remember, it is 20 for the year and 15 if you are a student. You'll also get access to member-exclusive events, merch, road trip, and our Discord, where you'll find out news first. And another reminder, if you are a member, to make sure to regularly check our membership page on our website and our announcement channel on our Discord for the latest.
While you're on the website, be sure to check out the latest from our writers team. We have the Forward Press summarizing all pre- and post-game pressers, match day and review for those days you want to relive or that you miss, and of course our weekly player ratings so you can see how each player did on the day.
And don't forget to check out ATO After the Whistle podcast, the best way to spend your Tuesday mornings by listening to our beloved host break down the past week at Atletico Ottawa game. Their last episode covers the loss to York, so be sure to check that out on all your favorite podcast platforms.
GCP is your home for pre- and post-game drinks after a day of football action, and it's also the home of all of our watch parties. Join us at 779 Bank Street for drinks and for the games in Copa America, the Euros, and the Olympics, on top of every single away match for Atletico Ottawa. Canada's first Copa match is coming up quick. That is tomorrow at 8 p.m. against Argentina. Be sure to get there early because it will be packed. We'll also see you early for the Friday night game against Calgary. Let's show this city that summer belongs to football, and let's show up in force to take up some seats for that game. That's at the Glebe Central Pub, CCSG's home pub for the 2024 season and Ottawa's temple of football.
And also be on the lookout for a chance to star in CCSG's latest show, Full Time, which is available on our YouTube channel, chronicling the reactions of ATO fans after every home match. Be sure to join Harry to share your thoughts after every home game under the Jumbotron. And be on the lookout tomorrow for the episode covering the York game.
And that's all from us this evening. Thank you once again for listening, for joining in the conversation, and we hope to hear from you all again next week. Isaac, why don't you send us off?
All right. Peace out, y'all. Vamos, Atleti.